Please take your Bibles and turn with me first to the Old Testament, prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23, beginning at verse 16. It's found on page 826 in the Pew Bibles. Jeremiah 23, beginning at verse 16. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Jeremiah 23. People of God, hear now God's holy word. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth. A whirling tempest, it will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people. And they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and do prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness, when I did not send them or charge them. So they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. Let us turn over to the last book in the Old Testament, at least as we'll find out or hear next week, the last book in our Old Testaments, Malachi chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. It's found on page 1022. It's how we order the Old Testament. Malachi is the final book. Malachi 4. We'll read verses 4 through 6. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Then let us turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel account of John chapter 1, page 1127. John 1, we'll read the first 18 verses. Our focus, our text, will go back to Jeremiah 23, verse 22. John 1, 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." As far the reading of God's Word. Congregation, we get lots of pieces of mail, especially at this time of year. Maybe you've heard of people, maybe you yourself have received a piece of mail, a bill in the mail, but you didn't pay much attention to it. Hopefully not. Young people, when we pay for something, when we have someone do something for us, we ought to be attentive and pay our debts, what's billed us. But sometimes we know of people who set it aside, intending to get to it later, and they forget about it. It's easy to set letters to one side. Life is busy. Well, then perhaps sometime later, some weeks later, the bill comes again. Hopefully not past due. Sometimes it is. Hopefully, again, this doesn't happen to you, but it does happen. Many people go through this. Again, they intend to get to it. But you get distracted. You don't. Well, then what happens? Is it all fine? Just forget our bills, just leave them to the side, and we don't have to worry about them? No, of course not. Perhaps you get a phone call, maybe several phone calls. If it goes on long enough, you get a personal visit. If those don't work, if letters are ignored, if personal visits are ignored, matters get worse. Eventually, debt collection agencies, officers, the law gets involved. It's a mess. That goes on in our world. Well, it's like that in the Bible, spiritually. It's like that with prophets, only more so. For prophets deal with very weighty matters, matters related to good and evil, righteousness and sin, to God, to salvation, to heaven, to hell. So far in our Advent series leading up to Christmas, we've seen God's standard revealed in creation, that every person knows there's a God, knows what this God is like, knows that there is right and wrong, but because of man's sin, beginning with the first man, Adam, his first sin, all mankind has corrupted this knowledge and acts as though God has not made clear that he exists, what he expects of us. It was our first Advent sermon. The second one brought out how God did not leave it up to sinful man to determine, well, what's right and what's wrong. It's unclear, we'll make our own. Instead, God published his law. And in doing so, God made very clear, in writing, the standard for how we are to live. There's no longer any question of what God requires. The question is, will you listen? Will you obey? And as we saw again, man's sin, man's brokenness, We're corrupted. By nature, we do not listen. We don't remember. We twist God's law. We will not obey, even when we admit what God's law says is this. Well, this morning in our third Advent sermon leading up to Christmas, we come to another means by which God has made his word, his will, known. Prophets, the prophets. The first two sermons, they dealt with things that are fixed, creation. God's law. Things that also, in a way, are silent. Well, that's not what the prophets are. It's anything but. God called men to serve as prophets, to bring his standard, his word, to his people, to hold it before their eyes, to have it resound in their ears, to apply it to them personally, making it even harder, in one sense, to ignore God's voice. You see, with creation and with the law, sinful man ignores, sinful man represses, suppresses, turns a deaf ear. But with the prophet, God sends a messenger right there to our door, knocking on it. You can't ignore me. I'm not some letter you can put to the side. I'm here. Listen to me. God will not allow sin to harden his people to him and his word. God won't allow it. He takes steps to address that sin, to counter it. Like, that's why there's Christmas at all. God coming to rescue his people from our sin. Make no mistake, congregation, sin is our enemy, a potent enemy. Not potent for God, but potent against us. It has corrupted, it twists everything good in creation. All our best thoughts and intents, our words and actions are stained with it. The fruit of sin, death, it lays waste to every earthly dream, every endeavor. Even this past week, and we've had quite a few in the past months, we're faced with death, aren't we? The brokenness all around us. Sin is a great enemy. It's a darkness in which all mankind is bound. But God is Lord of all, even over sin and death. And so he sent his prophets to bring his word to people struggling with sin. And this is what we consider this morning as I proclaim to you that through the prophets, God urges us to return to his standard, return to him. God urges us to return. First, we consider from Jeremiah 23, verse 22a, the prophets are mouthpieces of God. A prophet is a mouthpiece of God. We read in the first part, if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed. Stood in God's counsel. You know, it's one thing to point to God's law, to quote it. In a sense, that's a safe way of bringing God's standard to bear on someone. But God's prophets are to do something different. They've been caught up to God's very presence. They are to speak that to God's people. Read through the prophets in the Old Testament. You'll find what they're about. They don't make up their own words. Granted, some did. We read, in fact, a lot of what we read in Jeremiah, and we could have kept reading. Some so-called prophets, they do make up their own words. They dream. What, don't we hear that even today? Oh, I was led this way, or I had a dream, or I have these thoughts. No different than back then. False prophets making up their own words, their own dreams. They're not true prophets of God. Those who tell what the prophet himself wants to tell, what he wants to say, what the people want to hear. Oh, when things are going well, economically, militarily, well, then false prophets and the people, they get along well. The false prophet tells people what they want to hear. And the people keep the false prophet fed, clothed, for telling them pleasing words. But nothing stays pleasant forever in a broken world. Judgment day is coming. Whether that be the final judgment day when God sends Jesus back to this earth and he will judge the living and the dead and consciences will be laid bare. Or whether it be other little judgment days looking forward, preliminary judgment days. When God visits upon the earth and upon sinful man who continues in his sin, judgments, wrath, disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, droughts, floods, earthquakes, terrorist attacks, pandemics, war. war, social upheaval. God divides then the sinner and the false prophet, making clear that the message brought by the false prophet was not God's word, that the person to whom that message was brought was only playing around with religion, playing around with the Most High God. But a true prophet is one who, again, as we read, verse 22, has stood in my counsel. That means God selects some men, and he grants unto them a special hearing. Now, in the old covenant, out of his great grace, God would give a revelation to these men, whether that be through a vision or a voice or some other means, we don't know exactly how. As far as we know, it was not like Christmas. Children, you know, angels appeared to shepherds, a multitude of the heavenly hosts. Regardless, these men, these true prophets, at God's choosing, in God's way, would receive a message directly from God. They were caught up in his counsel. They stood there. The message was not simply a restatement of the law of God given to Moses, written on tablets of stone. Rather, it was a message bringing the law to bear upon the people. Now, that's important to grasp. The true prophet of God does not relay his own thoughts, his own reflections, his own philosophies. He does not merely say, well, did you look in the news? Let's interpret this. Did you see this film? Why, isn't that very thoughtful and insightful? Or this book, did you see this best-selling book, or maybe not best-selling? Why, let's look at that right now. The true prophet does not take a poll of the congregation or community and work that into some presentation. The true prophet is a mouthpiece of God himself. He has received a message from God. He has stood in his counsel. It is as much a message from God as the law delivered through Moses. It will never contradict that message, that law delivered through Moses. It will never contradict any other true prophecy. It is a message received from God. As such, the prophet served as God's mouthpiece, as though God himself stood before the people of God speaking to them. Think of Jeremiah, this book in which this passage is found. He was such a prophet of God. He was caught up. He stood in God's counsel. But there were others. There were false prophets of God who said they were speaking in the name of the Lord, but were not. They were their own mouthpieces. God makes clear here, without naming names, who is true and who is false. We'll consider more in our third point, one of the ways the people were to recognize the true prophet from the false prophet. But right now, let's simply make clear the true prophets were to be mouthpieces of God himself, not speakers for themselves. Not speakers for the culture, not speakers for the religious establishment or civil authorities or anyone else. True prophets were mouthpieces of God. And therefore, people of God, how ought you to receive a message from a true prophet? As though God himself was speaking to you. It's a weighty message. It's a weighty calling, both to deliver the message and to receive it. When you read through the words of Jeremiah, through Isaiah, through the other prophets, through the entire Old Testament, receive it for what it is, God's word. Given out of his grace. These are not mere human words. Now, we have no such prophets today. They have passed from the scene. I am not a prophet of God in this sense. You are not a prophet of God in this sense. There are no more prophets of God in this sense. If someone claims to be, they are lying, they are false, you know right there. But it was through those means that God gave much of the Bible to us. Think back to the first two sermons in this Advent series, God's Word in creation. It's not recorded anywhere in words. It forms none of the Bible. Now, God's Word in the law, that is recorded, but it's very brief. Ten Commandments, and the ceremonial law, the civil laws, and Exodus, Leviticus, some Numbers, Deuteronomy. The rest of the Old Testament comes from the pen of the prophet, whether that be what we call prophecy or the writings, which we'll come to next week, the Lord willing. Much of the Old Testament came from those who were prophets, mouthpieces of God. This is God's word, people of God. And it is a treasure. Treasure given to us out of God's grace. Now, fathers, at this time of year, it's common to read the Christmas story. And there are different places you can read the Christmas story. And that's good. But throughout all the year, read all the Bible. Treasure it. Read it. Study it. Love it. Listen to it. It is from God, given through human mouthpieces. Through the prophets, God urges us to return. To return to His standard. Some might wonder why we should treasure this. We hear today in our culture, don't we? This is an old book. Over 2,000, some parts 3,000 years old. We aren't the, even if it was true back then, we aren't the people to whom those prophets were sent. We are them. And our second point, we see God gave His messages to His mouthpieces so they would serve as messengers to His people. That's who we are, His people. They were messengers to His people. From verse 22, the second part. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people. It's part of the reason that God made prophets His mouthpieces, not for their own edification, that they would proclaim His words to His people. The prophets were never to keep the words to themselves, never for just a future generation. They were to proclaim the words to God's people who stood right there before them. And these prophets were not simply to tell the words or inform the people of them. But Jeremiah used the word proclaimed. See it right there, proclaimed. And we look at that word, it has the sense of causing my people to hear. The prophets were to be the instrument by which God's people would hear God's word. Not just the temple they could see in the distance or the law they would hear perhaps every 7 years if that law was followed. But right there. It was not their own words they spoke, it was God's. They were mouthpieces of God sent to God's people so that it would be as though those people themselves stood in God's counsel and heard God's message themselves. Well, why didn't God speak to everyone? Maybe you've wondered that yourself. Why use prophets? Well, one time God did speak. He spoke to everyone in the church at one time. To all His people at once, personally. Now, last time we read of such an event at Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, it's also called, when God delivered His law to His people. Now, we didn't read it at the time, but we could have. It's right around there in Exodus. That terrified the people. It terrified them, and they begged God not to speak directly to them. They begged God to choose someone else to receive the words for them and then bring the words to them. You see, while some today might think it would be better to hear God Himself speak in a great booming voice, why doesn't God appear to me? I believe Him. We've heard that. The people of Israel who heard God's voice, they cried out not to hear it anymore. Sinful humans are not able to bear God's voice, the voice of the Almighty, Holy God speaking His holy words to a sinful people. No sinner can abide it. One who claims they would like to hear from God, they have no sense of their sin, of their brokenness, and of the holiness of God. But God chose prophets, and He brought them into His counsel, where they received a message from God. Then God sent them back to cause them to hear that message. Sent to God's people. The words in the Bible are for you, people of God. Well, you and I, we aren't the original audience, the original hearers, receivers of this word, but you are God's people. There is one church from the beginning to the end of the world, one people of God, and you, by God's grace, are included in that people, that tree, that body. Praise be to God for His grace. Now, I am not an inspired prophet. You are God's people. I'm a minister sent to read God's word, sent to take God's word and proclaim it and teach it and apply it. But you are still God's people, recipients of God's word. The purpose for God's having chosen a man and made him a prophet, make him his mouthpiece, that's not changed. These words come to you. In God's providence, they've come. Children, they've come to you. Think of that. These words delivered over thousands of years ago in a different language, a different culture, even these in a different time in redemptive history. God has done this so that you today, children, you too, would receive these words. Through the prophets, God still urges you to return to his standard. And you receive them not only as you sit here in corporate worship, but also as you read and study and meditate upon them in your personal devotions, in family worship. That is the word of God, sharper than any double-edged sword, breathed out by God himself, intended for you, his people. Therefore, receive God's word. Study it, read it, meditate. Receive it not only in your ears as the words reach you, but by God's grace, listen. Listen. Don't let your mind drift. Don't think about the Christmas festivities now. Don't think about last week or this week. Don't think about your sorrows and pains right now. Don't fall asleep. Listen to God's word. It is for you. God sent his prophets as messengers to you. And it is sin to do anything other than listen and listen attentively. By God's grace, repent of your sin, people of God. When you have not made the utmost effort to sit under and attentively listen to the reading and preaching of God's word, when you have put television watching or checking your phone above God's word, when you have elevated your own interests, your own cares above God's word, that's sin. Therefore, by God's grace, repent. Repent of your sin. It is this message, that of repentance, that God through his prophets delivers to his people. Delivers time and time again. And that's what we move to in our third point. It is a message of repentance in the last part of verse 22. Earlier we asked how you can tell a false prophet from a true prophet. Well, God gave tests for that back in Deuteronomy 18. You can look at those. But you can even tell here from what we read this morning. False prophet tells the people that they can live as they wish. Verse 17, he said, they say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. To everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. That's a false prophet. But a true one seeks from verse 22 that they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. It's what a true prophet tries, what he brings, what he wants. It's what servants of the Lord, this message, the false ones, why, they still hear today, though. As they declare God's law, God's rules, whether from the pulpit publicly or family visitation, special visits, maybe you've heard a person say of preaching in certain churches, how negative, how offensive. In today's day and world, I'm not going to listen to what you say. Congregation, at times we do hear that from those who want to live as they want to live. Although oftentimes it comes across, well, what you say might be true, but then no change happens. For all practical purposes, what was said was disregarded. And why is that? Because our sinful selves, we don't want to be told that we're in sin. And this is sin. We want to be told. What do we want to be told? It will be well with you. Verse 17. It will be well with you. Tell us how we're better than our neighbors. Why doesn't the preacher focus on the really bad sins in the world? Why does he nitpick our sins? We're not as bad as they are. We're tempted to respond that way, aren't we? Well, if you want to hear how well you're doing in life, if you want to hear that you're a good person, or you're a good enough person, Or, well, it's good that you're trying. Well, you won't hear that from a true prophet. You won't hear that from a true prophet of God. A true prophet will not tell you what you want to hear in that regard. But also, that won't really help you. You and I are sinners, great sinners. Even after the Lord has changed our hearts, that old self of sin still clings to you and me. You know you're a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. Can't ignore that. We need that message brought to us that the prophets of old brought from God to God's people. Again, what's that message? They would turn them from their evil way, from the evil of their deeds. That's the message Jeremiah proclaimed. That's the message Malachi spoke of. We read of that in the last few verses of Malachi, that John the Baptist would proclaim, turn. It's the message that true servants of the Lord still proclaim. Because the real problem with you and with me, with God's people, it has not changed in all these years, and that problem is sin. We think of Christmas even. Christmas doesn't show man's goodness. Christmas doesn't show man's purity. It reveals God's great grace for us great sinners. If you want to hear some positive message about you, then you need to continue to sit under the faithful preaching of God's word so that you hear you are not good in yourself, that you are sinful. You hear that there is a destruction coming, that as you walk on that path of sin, you walk to destruction. Sin leads to death. It's what godly parents teach their children in discipline. It's what the servants of the Lord teach their flock through preaching, teaching, visiting, discipline. Through the prophets, God urges us to return to His standard. Now, why? Why is this message of repentance so necessary? Because of our sin. There is no soundness in us by nature. And God sent the prophets again and again to His people because the prophets suppressed God's law in creation and in the commandments. Suppressed it so they thought they were okay, and so they went on living as they thought they should live. People of God, God loves you so much that He does not want you to live as you want to live. He sends men to declare the message, turn. Don't live in sin. That leads to death. Why will you die? In Malachi 4, verse 6, which we read, the people hearing the voice of the prophet, if they did not repent, God would strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Will you hear, people of God? Will you listen? Will you, by God's grace, change and repent? There's no soundness in us by nature. We need salvation from ourselves, from our sin. And that's also what the prophets declared. They didn't just declare, you're great sinners, destruction's coming. They always declared a message of hope. Hope, yes, surrounded by sin, but not hope in us. Turn to God. That's what John the Baptist did, as we read in John 1, 6 through 8 and after. God sent this man to testify not to himself, but to testify to the light, to Jesus. For in Jesus is righteousness, in Him is salvation. He is the one who rescues. And that's what Christmas is about. God sending His Son Jesus to this earth to do what we were supposed to do, but we don't do. To suffer what we deserve, but would overwhelm us. This child, the Christ child, he would listen to God's word. He would heed God's word. He is himself the word. He is the true light that was witnessed to by all the prophets. He has come. He has come to take upon himself our obligation of obedience and repentance. To take upon himself the guilt and punishment for our sins. And he did that as he hung on the cross. There Jesus reconciled sinners to the holy God. He brought about righteousness in life by his death. And on the third day, his resurrection. We hear that. Last week we were blessed to partake of the Lord's Supper. And we were again reminded, and even more than reminded, we partook of Christ. That in Him alone is righteousness and life. There is salvation. A salvation that is for all who turn from their sins and entrust themselves to Jesus. Receive from God forgiveness of your sins, righteousness, simply because of Jesus, simply by believing. Trust Him. That's the message of repentance God's mouthpieces are to give to God's people. To those who continue in their way, who ignore God's law, who ignore that call to repent, well, just like that bill collector, the time is coming. It doesn't matter how long you stop listening to that knocking, it will come. And there is only then death and destruction. But God sent His Son, born on Christmas Day. Don't ignore Him. Don't reject Him. Listen to all the testimony about Him. Let it not be said of you, congregation. Let it not be said by God's grace that you sat under preaching that simply told you how good you are or how good you are for trying to be good or that you heard the truth and refused to turn. God urges us to return to His standard. Don't grow tired of that message. Listen, repent, believe. Be saved. That's the purpose of God's Word coming to us. That's the purpose of Christmas. The Savior has come. Turn to Him. By God's grace, listen, turn, and be blessed. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us Your Word. Thank You for sending prophets and now preachers to declare that word, and also that we have the word of the prophets in our possession in the Bible. But Lord, work in our hearts to receive that word, to listen. Lord, convict us constantly of our sin, but may we not despair. But as You give that conviction, as You give true conviction, lead us to Christ. That always we would find in Him all we need. True comfort, forgiveness, righteousness, life, change, renewal. Thank You for sending Your Son, who is our Savior. Oh Lord, grant that we would always hear and listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.